Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Welcome to Tigers in 20, a Go Tigers 247 audio podcast, your one-stop shop for all things University of Memphis Tigers athletics. Here are your hosts, founder of Go Tigers 247, Brooks Hansen, and lead writer for Go Tigers 247, Christian Fowler.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode. I am your host, Christian Fowler, and joining me, as always, is Go Tigers 247 founder, Brooks Hansen, and Go Tigers 247 digital content creator, Kenny Stubblefield. And guys, we are recording this 3 o'clock on Tuesday after some big breaking news in the college football world. Both the Big Ten and the Pac-12 have canceled slash postponed the 2020-2021 season to the spring. Feels like March all over again, huh, guys?
It's so depressing. I feel like Eeyore right now.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane, but at the same time, you still have these conferences, including the American, saying that they want to play football regardless of what the Big Ten and Pac-12 did, because this was expected. I think the conference commissioners, both the Group of Five and Power Five conference commissioners, were expecting this move to come today, and now they're just kind of sit back and waiting to see what the Big 12 does. But the SEC, the ACC, the American, the Sun Belt, these teams want to play football. So the next, I'm going to say week, maybe 5 to 7 days, is going to be very interesting to see what these conferences really do.
Well, here's the thing. Things change so frequently right now. And I just feel like the SEC, the American, all of these conferences are willing to sit back and say, listen, we're going to prepare like there's a season. And if we get to September and it looks like things have taken a turn for the worse, or we know more about the virus and the long-lasting impacts on athletes, then we'll reevaluate. But today, we're not ready to make that call. I respect that a ton, just because everything is changing so rapidly right now. So I applaud the American, the SEC, everybody kind of holding out. I think the Pac-12 was kind of a no-brainer because of state legislation. They just couldn't have a season. Big Ten, eh.
Yeah, the Big Ten was a little bit more surprising. But I think you hit the nail on the head there, Brooks. These schools, like I said, they want to play football. And also, it is a day-to-day change. Like, you never know what the next day is going to bring, what kind of information it's going to bring as far as the virus goes. And then as far as the college football world knows, kind of the same thing. You really have no idea what each day is going to bring. But they're being patient. They're waiting. They're doing their due diligence. They're testing. They're trying to keep players as safe as possible while they're currently having fall camp right now. So I think at this point, it's just them trying to be safe, but also say that we want football. It does bring a bit of normalcy back. But it's not just to bring it back. That's not the only reason they want to bring it back. They do want to do it in a safe way. So I think you've seen the demands from some of these players of the conferences, and I think they're very doable. I think they're very good ideas that these players have brought to the table, and it'll be interesting to see if those conferences kind of answer the bell on that and go for it and keep moving forward until they can or until they can't.
So Brooks and Christian, y'all are the crystal ball aficionados of Go Tigers 247. Let's crystal ball this. What, just looking into your crystal ball and kind of figuring out what's going to happen, what do Tiger fans need to be looking out for in terms of the national news about conferences and postponements and spring foot, whatever? What is it that we need to be looking out for as Tiger fans and followers? What do we need to be looking out for?
Well, I think, like I said, the Big 12 is a big component in all this. A lot of these conferences are holding their breaths and waiting on what the Big 12 says. I don't think they've released a timetable for when they plan on announcing what their plan is. So like I said, this is Tuesday afternoon, and we still have no idea what they're planning on doing. But I think that makes a big impact. And you've also seen two Group of Five conferences cancel. So you're down, what, four conferences right now? Four conferences are completely gone. You're more than a third of your teams in Division I football are gone. So at some point, if all these conferences drop out, then you have to, obviously, but the Big 12 is kind of your swing team right now. If they stay in, then I think these other conferences are going to try to push as much as possible. If they drop out, we could see other teams drop out, or we could see other conferences just say, okay, let's keep pushing. We got what we got. Let's keep pushing. We're 50% down teams-wise, but let's go.
The American is known for its slogan, Power Six. So when the Big 10 dropped out, obviously the American became a part of Power Five. You know, the Power Five's down a conference, so the American obviously slid into that. Who's next up? Like when the Pac-12 bowed out, who's next up after that? I mean, is it CUSA? Is that
Sun? It's the Sun Belt.
Sun Belt? No, there. Yeah, Sun. Is it the Sun Belt? Is it the CUSA? Stuff has gotten crazy, and it's I don't know. We were talking about this earlier. What do bowl games look like with half of your conferences gone or a third of your teams gone? It's insane. Like I said, there are so many unknowns right now. Like, these teams that have never played in a decent bowl game before could potentially play in a high-level bowl game just out of necessity because there are no teams left.
I don't know, do y'all remember back in high school when you were trying to organize what you were going to do on a Friday night, and it's like you have a group that's willing to go to this like party or where everybody's hanging out, and you like start having people drop out like flies.
Terrible.
And you get down to like that core group of like three or four people, and you don't necessarily like really like those people. So you're like, you know what? I'm out. I'm just going to stay home tonight. That's what we're watching with this. It's crazy.
So we were talking a few minutes ago, Christian and Brooks, about some of the players, right? Like, what does Justin Fields do for Ohio State? But let's take that to the Tigers' point of view. If the American Athletic Conference doesn't play football in the fall, will we ever see, or are we going to see Brady White, DeMonte Coxey, Kenneth Gainwell on the field for the Tigers again?
I think that's kind of hard to imagine. I mean, you think about Brady White's already going into his sixth year. Does he want it to wait until the spring, or is he just like, okay, at this point, I've been through so much, medical red shirts, sitting out at Arizona State, came to Memphis, now they want me to sit out until the spring, which is when the draft would be. Do I just say screw it and try to show my skills as much as possible and get drafted? And if I don't, great, I'm a very smart kid, I can go get a job. Same thing with DeMonte. DeMonte's, you know, two seasons over 1,000 yards, one of the three players in school history other than Anthony Miller and Isaac Bruce. Does he just try to test the draft waters? Kenny Gainwell, after last year, he has great tape. Does he try to go test the draft waters? It gets very interesting because it's not like they want to go play, and I'm not talking about these guys because they are seniors. It's not like they want to go play in the spring, finish the season sometime around the summer, and then gear right back up to play again. That you have no spring practice, you have no summer practice, you just go straight into the next season. It's really, really clustered. I don't think any players want to do that. That's why I don't really understand what the Pac-12 and Big Ten want to do. I don't understand postponing. I would just cancel it. You kind of just have to cancel it at that point. You have draft in the spring. It's so complicated. No college football player wants to play back-to-back seasons with no breaks in between. So it's very complicated.
Trying to put myself in the shoes of Memphis fans, I don't think any of them want to imagine a world in which we've already seen the last of Brady White and DeMonte Coxey and those guys on the field. Like, it's just, I doubt that they want to even entertain that possibility. But the reality is like, this stuff is going to keep shifting and moving. So my word of advice to those listening is stay tuned in as this stuff breaks. Or, you know, we've talked about doing these types of podcasts to talk about what news means for Memphis fans, for the program as it happens. So stay tuned. We'll do those podcasts on a more frequent basis moving forward. One thing I do want to say is that today, the rest of today's podcast is going to be a little bit different. We're going to give you a sneak peek on some of the inner workings of what you would normally get if you were a VIP member of Go Tigers 247. We're going to specifically talk about basketball recruiting when we come back from this short break, hearing from our sponsors.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
All right, we're back to talk basketball recruiting, and we cannot talk about basketball recruiting and the University of Memphis without first hitting on the newest University of Memphis commit in Josh Minot. First, before we get to really talking about recruiting in general, Christian and Kenny had quite an eventful Saturday morning. Up at the wee hours of Saturday, Josh Minot was scheduled to announce his commitment at 10 a.m., Central Time on Saturday morning. Plans changed. Christian, what happened?
Yeah, so it definitely didn't happen at 10 a.m. on Saturday morning. It happened at 1 a.m. on Saturday morning. And let me set the scene real quick. I don't want to drag this out too long because I know we got a lot of basketball recruiting stuff to cover. But I'm hanging out with all my friends. It's Friday night. I had just done an interview with Josh and, you know, his uncle Andrew. And we were all fired up, talking about it, explaining to each other what we're going to do in the morning. We were all going to wake up 7 or 8 o'clock, throw a bunch more stuff together. We already had a couple things together, and we were just going to dominate this whole story. That was the plan. I'm sitting there. I'm literally leaving my friend's house to take one of my other buddies home before I go home. It's 12:57. I get a text from Andrew Minot, Josh's uncle, saying he just posted the video. I also have a missed call and like 3 texts from Kenny saying he just posted it on IG. So I'm like freaking out. I drop my buddy off. I FaceTime Kenny. I'm like, okay, I've got a commitment article ready. We've got one podcast ready. What do we do? Like, do we wait until the morning, wake up at 6 o'clock and finish this stuff out? Or are we just going to go ahead and go for it? And me and Kenny both were kind of like, you know what? This is what we do. Let's go dominate this. 1:30 in the morning when I get home, I come up here. We start getting on here doing podcasts. I wrote another article. I think me and Kenny finally called it a night at 3:45, and by that time we had published 2 articles, 2 podcasts, and put everything out on social. So it was an eventful night. It was fun, but me and Kenny were both pretty exhausted on Saturday.
Well, it was interesting because I had been in bed already. I was in bed.
Kenny
I'm
was,
old.
Kenny
Christian.
Was asleep. Not even just
yeah,
in bed. Asleep.
I was asleep. Yeah, I was asleep, and I woke up. And
it's a premonition.
Something woke me up, and usually I can tell if I'm going to go right back to sleep. If I just close my eyes, I'll go right back to sleep. And I knew that I wasn't going to. So I was like, you know what? Let me grab my phone. So I grabbed my phone, jumped on the Instagram app, and I see Josh, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. He just put out a video. I click on the video, and it's like, I look at it. I'm like, that's a commitment video. And I was thinking, I was like, this dude is brilliant. He's going to post a video and say coming soon with the announcement at the end or with like coming soon at 10 a.m. tomorrow. And then the video finished and boom, the Tigers logo pops up and I flipped. I was like, oh my God. So I jump on I'm like sitting there in bed going, what do I do right now? So I called Christian because I was like, Brooks is old like me. He's in bed. So I called Christian. Christian didn't answer his phone. It's like, well, I had to make the decision very quickly. I was thinking to myself, I'm going to post stuff now. Like, I'm just going to drop the stuff that we have now just so that everybody knows that we're on top of it. But I also felt very uncomfortable about that because I never post things without Brooks and Christian's approval. And so I was like, I've got to talk to Brooks or I've got to talk to Christian. And so called Christian. Then I called Brooks and it goes straight to voicemail. And so next thing I know, I'm just sitting there going, I don't know what we do. Like, I don't know what to do. And then finally Christian calls me back and that's when we did what we do, Christian.
Yeah, interesting tidbit that probably no one knows outside of this circle and Brooks's family. This man sleeps with his phone on Do Not Disturb. So very good for him. He gets a nice night's sleep, but not good when it's 1:30 in the morning and you're trying to figure out what the hell you're supposed to do. So I didn't even try to call Brooks. As soon as I called Kenny, I was like, he sleeps with his phone on Do Not Disturb, so there's no point in calling him. Like, we are not getting him the night. This is me and you. We got to figure this out and go for it.
I don't sleep. I coma.
Exactly.
It's not happening. Premonitions don't happen with me. There's no ghost tapping me on the shoulder in the middle of the night saying, Josh Minot is committing. And I got nothing. So you guys killed it. And the lesson here for all the fans that don't know how this stuff works, plans are great, but sometimes you just have to scrap plans because kids are kids. You know, plans are plans and kids are kids.
So the funny part is we didn't go to bed till 3:45. Christian and I finally got off Zoom at 3:45 in the morning. And I set my alarm for 7 because I know that's what time Brooks is normally up during the weekdays at like
5,
but during the weekends he's up at like 7. And so I set my alarm for 7 because I wanted to see what he was going to say when he woke up and saw the texts. And all I know is I woke up and I had a text message from him going, WTF.
that was the only thing I said. So luckily, you know, like I tell everybody this, you guys are amazing. Luckily, I got people around me that make me look smart. So y'all killed it. But on to more Tigers recruiting. Oh, before we move on, let me just go ahead and drop this little nugget. I fully expect moving forward, once the rankings are redone, look for Josh Minot to move up at minimum into the top 50 of the 247 sports independent rankings, and possibly as high as the top 20 to 25, which mind-blowingly would be him going from an unranked prospect to a 5-star, like a McDonald's All-American level player. 247's rankings council is reevaluating Josh. You know, the guys that I've spoken to love him. And I think that they now realize how undervalued they have had him. So I don't think I've made this point clear. This, and this alone, is a testament to this staff's ability to evaluate players, to be able to watch talent, to watch film, know what they're looking for, and know that a player is a high-level player regardless of their ranking. So for so long, Memphis fans have been caught up in rankings, like, is he a 5-star? And the reality is, moving forward, I think you'll see Penny, Cody, Tony move more towards just finding guys that fit what they need and going after them. In fact, I would be shocked if at least one, if not two more of these guys are the same type of situations. Guys that end up committing to Memphis, they're reevaluated and make massive moves in the rankings. So that's another VIP nugget for you. That's what you normally get in VIP. So in terms of recruiting, Christian, you caught up with another unheralded, unranked level guy. And that's class of 2021 big man Sam Aomide. I probably botched his name. So, Sam, if you listen to this, I apologize. If you can give me like a Minot, why not type of
comparison,
name, phonetic spelling, go for it. But, Christian, what did Sam have to say in your recent interview?
Yeah, so that was, you know, we're talking a lot about VIP right now. That was a VIP article, so I don't want to go too in-depth on what the content of that was. But me and him talked a lot just about his relationship with Memphis's staff, kind of how he sees himself fitting in Memphis's system if he was to come here. He talked a lot about his relationship with Cody Toppert. They've built a close relationship. And then something, we love player comps here. It's something we always talked about. So I asked him about some of the guys that he compares himself to, and he had some very interesting comparisons. But if you haven't read that story yet, go check it out. It's on the main page of the GoTigers247.com. Also on the boards there on the Go Tigers 247 roundtable. But very interesting story. Very good kid on and off the floor. didn't start playing basketball till the age of 14. So if you missed that or you haven't read it yet, go check it out. Because like I said, very interesting kid and had a lot of good things to say about Memphis and the staff.
Christian, I think you missed the point of this concept with giving a look in the VIP. Give the people something, man. Like, give us a quote. Give us something good and juicy. I know one of the guys he compared himself to that he wants to play the game like is Joel Embiid. And I honestly watch him film. I love that.
I said it. I think I said it in the article here. If you want us to get into the nitty gritty, let's read the quote.
Just give a real juicy quote.
I'll read one about Memphis' staff just to make everybody feel better about it. Here we go. It's him talking about the Memphis staff. Memphis has been great, and I've built an absolutely amazing relationship with the staff there. I talk to Penny 3 times a week and Cody pretty much every day, and we talk about basketball, but we also have built a personal relationship. So there you go, Brooks. There's your juicy quote. But yeah, I love the Joel Embiid comparison. As soon as he said it, I was like, yeah, that makes perfect sense. Because Joel's somebody that really had to expand his game once he got into college at Kansas, and then once he finally got going in the league after the injuries cleared up, was able to expand his mid-range game and his perimeter shooting. And that's something that Sam has the potential to do because he's already great down low. He has the size and athleticism to rim run, block shots, be dominant down low. But like I said, he's an athlete. He's an athletic player. And if he continues to build his game and become a mid-range shooter and a decent three-point shooter, I think he has the capabilities and the potential to do that. And that's when you start talking about this guy being one of the best big men in the 2021 class. So somebody that we've talked about for a while now, I think we're all big fans of his game. And for me, it's always exciting to look forward at to what they can be. I think that's something that we do very well as a team and that we love looking forward to players because potential is so fun to think about. And with Sam, there's a ton of it.
Well, Kenny, I know you love Sam. And I mean, you love player comps. What do you think about that Joel Embiid? I want to talk about one relationship, but I want to get your opinion on it. Do you have another player comp?
Well, no. I think the Joel Embiid comp, and I love that he sees that in himself. Like a lot of times when the pundits talk about comps, that's great and that's fine. You know, I'd be concerned if he said, yeah, I'm going to be – my player comp is Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
There's a level of understanding his talent and his skill set and what he likes to do that translates to, you know, the Joel Embiid, comp. I just hope we know that he just picked up a Kansas offer last week. Let's just hope that we can trust this process and that he doesn't go to Kansas. That's all I'll say.
Come on, son. Come on.
Trust the process. The process.
Well, one part of the article that Christian hit on with the quotes from Sam is Sam's big on relationships, and this is a VIP nugget here. I'm just laying it out, plain and simple. Sam Aomide is now up in Philly. He lives with fellow class of 2021 prospect John Camden, 6'8", multiple position dude that Memphis also loves. That relationship is strong. I do think that there will be a pull for those two to play together. And anyone who's VIP knows this, you've read the article already where I tabbed Sam Aomide as the number one prospect on the board overall for Memphis in this recruiting class. So obviously you can deduct from that statement that if Memphis is going to heavily, heavily prioritize Sam, John Camden becomes a part of that equation as well. So something to keep an eye on, if you feel me. So moving forward, there are others at play here.
We can't move forward from John yet. Let's talk about John for a second. John Camden is a monster. Brooks, you sent a couple of highlight packages to Christian and I over the last few months about John Camden, and that highlights John Camden. And this kid is huge, number one. And you talk about we talked a lot about Lester and his jumper and his form. A lot of it is about form. John's shooting form has zero fat at all.
Zero fat, high release, perfect follow through, wet.
And then I saw a few things like, and so that seems obvious, right? Like you'd go, okay, this kid can shoot the ball. Most high level white dudes that are in high school have really good jumpers. They can shoot the ball really well. The highlight package that I saw today that I thought was super intriguing was seeing John in multiple possessions going to the basket. He was not only going to the basket and finishing, he was finishing off of the wrong foot, which is a move that is absolutely taking over the game in terms of getting to the basket. There's a few times where he was going down the right side of the basket, right side of the key, jumped off of his right foot and finished with his left hand at the basket. Like there is a level of skill there.
Like some Manu Ginobili type of stuff.
Woo! Son.
Yeah, and that's the thing you hear about most shooters is that they like to stay on the perimeter. They don't like to go down low. They're finesse guys. They like to stay outside. And that's the thing that jumps out about John Camden is that he is very smooth and very skilled, so he can get to the basket. He has very good body control down low. He can, as Kenny said, he can finish in multiple different ways and uncomfortable ways. And that's something that you have to do, especially at the next level and then in the NBA. So it's something that he already has in his game. And, you know, for any college coaches, that's very encouraging. College coaches have to love to see a guy that understands that you have to be adaptable down low and be able to finish with multiple hands and from different body positions. And that's something that John seems to already understand very well at a young age.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Right now, we've got him listed at 6'7", 195. I think his weight might be close to there, maybe a little bit higher. But I think John now, from his film, he looks every bit of 6'8". He's overall in the composite, he's ranked 118 overall. I'll just call it like it is. That's terrible. 136 in the 247, top 150, terrible. That's got to change. And I think as more guys put eyes on John, obviously his AAU season got canceled with team final, with Nike shutting everything down. So everything he's been doing has been just training, development, and I'll be honest, it ain't hurting him at all. So the rest of 2021, some more news today on a Tuesday afternoon, class of 2021, James Graham, a similar player to John Camden, announced a final list, final four, with the decision coming on August the 17th of Memphis, Maryland, Auburn, and Madison. And for those that don't know, he's referring to Wisconsin there. So I'm just going to give the VIP scoop here. This is what our people already know who are in VIP. So again, $1 for the first month. It's super cheap. Come on, people. Like, just give us a try. I'm trying not to be too desperate, but I feel like we deserve the support.
And our 50% off restarts again tomorrow. So we have another 50% off deal that starts on the 12th, which is Wednesday.
So probably the day this is published, will start.
When this is published, we'll have the 50% off deal running.
50% off all annual memberships, which basically gets you a full year for pennies. So this is the deal with James Graham. I told everyone ahead of time it would not be Marquette or Wisconsin. I still stand by that. Obviously, that was before he announced his list. I also told everyone before he announced his list that it would be Memphis, Auburn, or Maryland. So where's Memphis fit into this equation? It's going to be very interesting to see how this shakes out. It's very possible that James Graham could affect the dominoes for Memphis with other guys. And more so in terms of, you know, when they're deciding, how quickly, where they're going. So just keep an eye on that. But it will not be Wisconsin.
It will be Maryland, Memphis, or Auburn. And the buzz right now, obviously you guys have seen the crystal ball, appears to be pointing towards Maryland. But for all intents and purposes, from everyone I've talked to involved, it's not done. I can't say too much on the rest of it, but I will say that it has massive implications for Memphis moving forward. So it's definitely something to keep an eye on.
So guys, let's take a real quick break. One last ad. We're going to come back, give a couple more nuggets, wrap it up. We'll see you on the other side.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right. So that was a pretty long segment. That was a lot of basketball recruiting. And the good news for those that stuck around, if you're still here, and I'm going to do this because I want to encourage all of you that listen to us week in, week out, to listen, start to finish, all the way to the end. And I'm going to give you some of the juiciest info right here. Another guy, we talked about relationships, Sam Amede, John Camden. A lot of people on VIP have probably already put the two and two together. I've hinted at it pretty heavily. But John Camden and Carter Witt are both headed to Brewster Academy to play for Jason Smith. And that is one guy that if Memphis were to, you know, if they were to able, it's a long podcast, guys. I'm 30 minutes.
Words are hard.
If they're able to land a guy like John Camden, that immediately puts Memphis at the front of the pack for Carter Witt. Carter Witt, Christian, Kenny, one of y'all want to give a little insight into what he's like, what he is as a player?
Yeah, I think, you know, the player that Carter Witt is, I've had a chance to see him in person once. Obviously, I've seen a lot of video of him. But if you are thinking about a team and you're thinking about point guard play, there are certain players that are just absolute stable players for a team that very rarely will turn the ball over, going to make smart decisions, have a point guard mentality where they're going to get everybody in play. You know, they're going to get the hot man in play. They're going to get their buckets when they can, but they're assists heavy. They push the ball, smart players. And that's Carter Witt. You know, that's the kind of player that he is. So I think he's a good pickup for any team that gets him. But if you're thinking about what he could do for the Tigers, you know, imagine a bigger Alex Lomax coming off the court or coming onto the court and just providing a level of stability that the Tigers experience when Alex is out there. That's the kind of player Carter Witt is.
So Carter Witt, for those that don't know, he's a point guard, 6'3", out of North Carolina. Obviously, like I said before, going to Brewster Academy. One of the guys that Jerry Meyer of 247 Sports compares him to is Josh Perkins, who played at Gonzaga. I don't know if I necessarily like that player comp. I think in terms of size and skill set, it's probably close. But in terms of like just feel for the game and pace, they're different types of players. But obviously, Carter's a four-star, top 75 kid. You take that. And that's a good option for Memphis long-term. You know, he's a multi-year point guard. You know, gives you an option depending on what happens with Boogie Ellis, with Damian Ball, with Alex Lomax. And then you can move to 2022, 2023 and really focus on getting that elite level point guard to come in and take you to the next level for those years. One other tidbit, again, for those that stuck around, and that is class of 2021. He's listed as a shooting guard on 247 Sports, but he is, he's listed as a small forward. He's more of a shooting guard. He's 6'5", 6'6", and that's Jordan Nesbitt out of St. Louis, Missouri. I love Jordan Nesbitt. He's a three-level scorer, tough as nails, plays hard, defends. Like, I mean, honestly, watching him from watching Tony Allen in high school before he went to Oklahoma State, this kid reminds me of a better scoring Tony Allen. That may sound crazy, but he's got that kind of dog in him. What do y'all think about that comp?
Yeah, no, I don't mind it at all. Definitely on as far as the defensive end of the floor and just the tenacity that he plays with, I definitely see that Tony Allen, Marcus Smart type of dog in him. But like you said, he's a better scorer. He can score from all three levels. He's already a pretty developed mid-range and three-point shooter, so that's definitely a plus going into college. But for us, I know, you know, being from Memphis and being around quote-unquote dogs all the time, we love guys like this. We love guys that want to come and play defense and play hard and dive on the floor and scrape up their elbows and knees. Those are the type of dudes that make teams. Those are the type of dudes that keep teams together, keep teams in tight games, and that's really what Jordan is. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of his game. I love anybody that wants to come and play defense and play hard on both ends of the floor.
Kenny, you're our player comp guy. Am I way off?
No, Brooks, I don't think that your player comp of Tony Allen is off. I would say this, though. You're talking about a kid who is much bigger than Tony Allen. Tony Allen is 6'4", maybe. You know, Tony's big and he's thick, but he's not a tall person. Jordan is absolutely taller than he is. I think that as I've seen highlights of him, the one thing that I would say is he is going to be a matchup nightmare in college. He is going to be able to take guards into the paint and destroy down there.
He's a two guard at college.
Yeah, he's already got a well-developed post game as a guard, you know, as a guard player. But then also, let's say a college coach says, man, I got to get my three on him. I got to get somebody bigger to stop him in the post. All right, then I'm going to take you out to the key and get past you, blow past you all day long. So I think he's going to make a lot of money in basketball off of his defense and just energy. But in terms of scoring ability, he's got a pretty well-rounded game. It's going to be a matchup nightmare. He's good at both things evenly enough to be able to be a threat on the court wherever he is, whoever's guarding him.
Well, I hated to go here, because he never really panned out at the pro level, but he reminds me a lot, rewinding the clock to that 2008 class, 2009 maybe, with DeAndre Liggins, that he ended up at Kentucky. DeAndre out of high school, out of Chicago, man, his film was so similar. I think Jordan is probably more advanced offensively than DeAndre was back then, but in terms of that kind of dog, the size, the build, very similar. So I bring all of that up and I kind of bring it back to the state of Illinois to say this. I think Jordan Nesbitt is a high priority for this Memphis staff just from reading the tea leaves. I do think the biggest threat for Jordan Nesbitt with Memphis is Illinois. So I think watch that one closely. That's a guard in this class that I think Memphis will prioritize. And then you get past that and you say, all right, well, who do we then move to if Illinois were to get Jordan Nesbitt? So that's where that one stands. I feel like we gave you guys an update on almost every priority target for Memphis, all VIP style. So again, this is a preview of what you get day in, day out with what me, Christian, and Kenny do, how we grind, the information we give you. So guys, I got nothing else. Y'all got anything?
I'm good.
That's a wrap.
Thank you for listening to Tigers in 20. If you enjoyed this episode, we would love for you to leave a comment and a rating wherever you download your podcasts. If you are interested in daily content all about the University of Memphis athletic program, please hop over to www.gotigers247.com. Articles are uploaded daily, and you can join the Go Tigers 247 family by signing up for the VIP membership for even more behind-the-scenes information.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.